We find ourselves heading toward the cross through our Lenten season. It has been a great opportunity to gather as a community of believers on Wednesday afternoons here at noon, and we look forward to that time again, even as the Haven of Hope Worship Center will come and lead us in worship on Wednesday. And as we have entered into now this fifth Sunday of giving some time to think about what the cross means, how it is significant in our lives, we also wanted to take some time this morning to think in terms of coming from death to life. And if anything's happening outside, it is certainly a reminder of that. Some of our flowers are already bursting forth, and they're getting ready for the 2 to 4 inches of snow that we're going to be getting this evening to sort of dampen their springtime spirits as they're making their way out of the ground. But nonetheless, they seem undaunted in their task, and life is coming forward even out of what seems to be a very desolate place. The Apostle Paul takes some time in the book of Philippians to speak in terms of his own death. And we think of someone's obituary. We think of that being at the end of their life and as they're looking back. But Paul puts it in very different terms here in chapter 3 in Philippians. He says, "Everything that I have done on my own really has led to death and not life." And for Paul to say that, it really seems to discount a whole lot of things on his resume. He had studied under the greatest of scholars in the Jewish world. He had gone through a very strict regimen of being a Pharisee. But he says, all of those things that were accomplished, and I accomplished them on my own, they don't count for anything. The New Revised Standard Version uses the politically correct word rubbish, but he's trying to get at the point that everything that I may have done, it really doesn't amount to a whole lot unless Jesus Christ is at the center of what I do. Everything he now realizes rests and hinges upon the fact of who Jesus was and what he continues to do in our life. He says, the power of Christ's resurrection, the suffering that he walked through in order to get to that point, is in fact the foundation of what not only gives us strength, but lets us see that death truly can come to a place of rejuvenation, to a place of restoration, to a place of wholeness. And Paul was saying, I don't want you to think for a minute that I have arrived. Paul seemed to be very concerned with his early audience for them to know that all that he had walked through so far, he was still pressing toward the mark. And so there's this idea of pressing on. If you've watched any races along the way, or you've heard any instruction from coaches, I just heard this to Bobby just the other day. Bobby was doing his 200-meter trial run around the track, and the word from the coach was, don't quit at the end. At the very end, you've got to keep going. You're really close. Don't stop. You've got to make sure you run all the way through the finish line. And that's the image, I think, that Paul's trying to get at here. He says, I don't want to give up even when things become difficult or when things seem to be not going as planned. But I'm going to continue to press on toward the goal, this prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. And so there are many examples throughout Scripture that also give us this image of coming from what seems to be death and going into life. Most pointedly, probably, is the story of two sisters and their brother, who Jesus seemed to spend a lot of time with down through the years. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus has a place not only in Jesus' life, but is recorded in the Gospels so that we can still remember their story. And it's even as is told in John's Gospel, that it was Mary who then came to Jesus and anointed his feet with very costly perfume, out of not only an area of respect, but as a foreshadowing of preparing him for his burial. And there were some in the crowd who thought that was simply a waste, that expensive perfume could have been sold, and then that the proceeds to that could have been used in a far greater way. But it is Jesus who speaks into that situation and allows Mary to do what she's been called to do, to recognize the ultimate end of Jesus' life here on this earth, but to know that that death then allowed and prepared us all for what resurrection and life truly looks like. Jesus' words were, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial." Jesus said, "You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." There was this opportunity in Jesus' words to set the stage of where we put our priorities, that we do extend the very first of what we have to Him and to Him alone. He was not speaking against helping others that were in need. He was not trying to discredit the idea that we can, in fact, be of service to others. He was just saying, make sure your priorities are in the right order. And for Mary, it was an affirmation of that fact. It was an agreement that where she was spending her time, in fact, was coming from a place of death and ultimately bringing life. I don't know if you caught on the news just the other day, two young elementary boys who were outside a house and a mother who was panicked because her little infant baby stopped breathing. And those two little boys came in and they had just learned CPR there at a program at their school. And so they stepped right into doing the proper compressions and following all of those things that they had just learned. And here this little baby, who wasn't breathing, turned back and had life again. And of course, the mother was overjoyed in the interview that I saw on TV. Said, I can't thank these little boys enough, because my baby wouldn't be here today if they had not come in and practiced what they had just learned. What a beautiful picture that is for how we can come from a place that seems to be lifeless, and that Jesus gives us this model of how to, in fact, breathe life into not only our world, not only our individual lives, but into the communities that we connect with and where He has placed us at this particular time. I often think about the decisions that had to be made down through the pages of Scripture. If you're following the History Channel series called The Bible, let's see, Corinne gave us a little known fact. More people watched the series The Bible last Sunday night than American Idol. How about that? That's wonderful news that the ratings would actually be in that direction. But they portrayed that scene of Abraham having to go and to take his son upon God's direction and saying, you must show obedience. You must provide a sacrifice. And Isaac, being aware of the process, says, Daddy, where are we going to get this sacrifice? I know you've asked me to go with you, but I don't see anything that we're bringing with us to sacrifice. And it took far more than I think I would be able to do to say those words, God will provide a sacrifice. Out of a seemingly deathful situation, we see that Moses' faith led him to a place where they finally heard the bleating of the sheep and recognized that God, in fact, would still provide. There are times in our life when we think or we do not know how the outcome will be. Things are not going as they had originally been planned. Something has happened and it has now changed everything that we were looking forward to. And it's out of that deathful situation. Literally, situations can feel like death. They feel like, well, if this is not going to occur in my life, then why do I even need to go on? Because everything seems to be turned upside down. It's a very familiar place if you go through the pages of Scripture. There are many times throughout the history of God's people where they have been in a place of ultimate despair. Their decisions or things that have happened to them that they had no control over changed the direction and where they were heading. And it was in those times where they lifted up their cries to the Lord. I lift up my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? And they recognized that their help could only come from the Lord. But in Psalm 126, verse 4, we hear these words coming from a time, most probably this was written right after one of those times where they actually were able to pray in direction of God, to say, help us in the midst of our suffering. This was the prayer of hope that was offered. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap the shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. There are many opportunities in our life where it would be very easy just to throw up our hands and say, I can't go on. Or the situation I find myself in seems to be hopeless. On the brink of what we think of as a death toll. It is in those situations that we hear God's voice the clearest. That echoes those words from the Apostle Paul. And it says, Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. It is our connection to this one true living God that spurs us on, that gives us that same desire like Paul had to become like Christ, to recognize that through suffering, there was an opportunity then to grow closer to God. Paul's desire is to lose himself and become like Christ in order to know Christ. Not for Paul's own glory, but because of his desire to know Christ Jesus. Paul's life has prepared him, but it has not been easy. He had suffered persecution. He had lost much, but he knows his gain is Christ. So also should that be our heart's desire, to know Christ and the life and the resurrection that He offers. Not to gain earthly status, not just to be a good person, not to be on the, quote, right side, or even to, quote, be a Christian. But our desire is that we want to know Christ because Christ loved us. He loved us so much that He stretched out His hands on the cross and He died for us. This has been and continues to be a time where we are preparing ourselves for the cross and ultimately for resurrection. Has this season of your life allowed you to draw closer to Him? Have you been taking advantage of the opportunities in preparation for not only the Palm Sunday, which we get to celebrate this coming Sunday, we get to wave our palm branches as they did early on in Palestine or in Jerusalem, and to give that recognition that He is King, Hosanna. But then to recognize we also stand in the crowd of those that are crying, crucify Him. I'm not sure, Jesus, if I really want You to be the Lord of everything. I'll give You control of most things, but there are a few things that I'll just try to take care of on my own. And it is a reminder for us that we have the privilege of giving all of our lives to Him. The parts of our lives that are going well and the parts of our lives in which we still need improvement. It is a recognition that there is life that comes out of death. Just as the seed has to fall to the ground and die for it to then have new birth, our own wills and our own motives need to be surrendered in that same way. And then allow God to do what only He can do, to transform, to reconcile, and to bring us into a knowledge of Him. The prophet Isaiah gives us these words today. He says in chapter 43, 16, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now if it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I have formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise." God is ready and willing to revive us, to bring us from a place that seems hopeless and places us in a position where we understand His plan and purpose that goes far beyond what we can currently see. It doesn't take very often for you to look at the headlines in the paper to see all that is happening that is wrong in this world. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. But there is this message that echoes through the pages of God's Word that says there is something more than what we can see or what we can read in the paper. That God's hope, God's life wants to come and not only sustain us, but to grow us and to challenge us and for us to press on toward this mark, this high calling that Jesus offers in each of our lives. As we saw that encounter of Mary with Jesus, it's Mary who witnessed Jesus raise her brother Lazarus from the dead. This is also Mary who fell down at Jesus' feet and wept for her brother and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Reading all of Mary and her sister, Martha, it seems that Mary understands what Jesus is about to do. It seems that Mary, the same one who sat at Jesus' feet to listen to Him, fell at His feet to mourn and weep, and now anoints His feet and wipes them with her hair. The same feet that will ultimately be nailed to the cross. It's a powerful image when Mary chooses to anoint His feet because she has spent a lot of time already there. And from here, Jesus will enter Jerusalem. And on the night He is betrayed, He will choose to wash the disciples' feet as well. Mary prepares Jesus for the work He is about to do. In turn, Jesus prepares the disciples. And so all that you have been through in your life so far, can we understand that that is preparing us for what God has in store next? And you say, I don't understand why some things happened. There have been some very tragic things that have happened to me or to my family. But somewhere along the way, there will be someone else who's going to have to walk through a very similar situation. And how you have gone through those times with the Lord then becomes the opportunity to speak out of experience into someone else's life. It's out of those experiences of death where we then can hear and experience life. There was a quote many, many years ago that talked about your life really can be summed up with a dash. If you look at a gravestone, and for me it would be 1967 to 2067, when I'm 100 years old. I don't know when the end time might be. But those two dates, what's really important is the dash that's in between. What do we do with our time? That is the significant part of our living. It's great that we have a beginning and then we will then have an end. But what will happen with you in between? May it be a time where you are a part of sharing in other people's lives from death into life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are so thankful that You continue to call us from death into life. That many of Your servants have modeled that down through the pages of history. That Paul recognized the fact that all that he had accomplished on his own meant nothing. And that all is connected now through and because of Jesus Christ. And may it be so with our walk through whatever struggle or heartbreak or disappointment that we are walking through whatever celebration or great achievement that we have been able to accomplish. May all of those things be seen in the light of how God has connected with our lives so that we can be a part of His kingdom. Oh Lord, I pray for life to come, for life to be birthed out of our own experiences as we understand who you are and we surrender our lives to you. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.